You work hard. Maybe you get up and go to school or work. Maybe you entertain a child for hours on end. Simply getting up, showering, and putting on clothes is taxing some days. You are busy paying bills, planning meals, getting places. You are exhausted. As a college student, I have become all too familiar with exhaustion. In fact, the week before winter vacation capitalizes on exhaustion. Finals week, also endearingly referred to by the name Hell Week. As semester comes to a close, our university thoughtfully crams final examinations for all courses in a mere 5 days to test our ability to retain knowledge. Among students, this becomes a competition of who is the most exhausted, who is stretched the thinnest, who has had mental breakdowns or cried in the middle of the library, who's eaten the fewest number of meals, who's showered the least. Does that sound familiar to you? Perhaps not in the context of university, but in the work sphere or among certain friends, many contexts cultivate glorified exhaustion. I'm sure at times you feel this world is too much to handle. With all that we see in the news and all that exists in our own lives, it can be a lot. Sometimes we focus our efforts on only a fraction of what's important because we simply feel it is all too much. Sometimes in this race to see who is the most exhausted, we involve ourselves in so many efforts, we manage to overlook key ideas and points of view. At times, we are simply overwhelmed. And I don't mean mental illness that contributes to feeling that way. I mean actively finding things to fill up every single little crevice of our lives. But why do we even do this? I, for one, do not enjoy the exhaustion I experience from busying myself. I know there is something inherently wrong there. I believe it comes from a place of insecurity and a need to bury the things that are happening in our own lives. I also believe this self-inflicted pressure comes from a need to prove ourselves, to be the good guy. I'm here to tell you that you're not always the good guy. It's not on purpose, and that doesn't mean you can't be better. It just means that sometimes we don't know everything. But I'll come back to that. Even before university and beyond university, I was and will be exhausted. As poet Naria Wahid says, all the black women in me are tired. Not only am I tired because of the mundane and routine things in my life, I am tired because every day I am fighting for my life. I am tired of fighting to prove that my identity is something worth protecting. I am tired of proving that my life matters. Sometimes I am so tired, I am angry. And in no way is this melodramatic or bragging. Trust me, if I had a choice, I wouldn't let any of those things tire me. But it's every day. In this particular case, I am speaking about race and only race. Although this feeling of exhaustion as a result of advocating for your own self-worth is not unique to race. Other identifiers such as gender, ability, and sexuality have their own struggles. As I speak about Black womanhood and my experience, I'm choosing to address you, my audience, as the privileged white majority. Not all of you are part of this group, but before you write yourself a pass, let me tell you what privilege means. Being told you have privilege in a given context is not undermining your experience, especially not your hardships. All it means is that you are extremely likely to underestimate how bad certain problems are, because in your life, you'll never be exposed to those particular problems. And understanding where you are privileged is the beginning of solving all these big issues that overwhelm and tire us. Privilege blinds us. That is an issue we actively have to work against in order to work towards equality and justice for all. Sometimes that is a painful process, and sometimes it is ground-shaking. But privilege also puts us in a unique position to advocate for people. I will tell you this. In your competition to see who is the most exhausted, you have neglected some very important people. Black women, one of the most tired yet active communities. As Waheed says, the kind of tired that is alive. Despite this, Black women like me continue to show up for you and the causes you care about. But I wonder, who is going to show up for me? Marginalized groups are almost always the first in line to advocate for others. Marginalization has shown us that good allies are extremely helpful to get work done for advancement. But why are people fighting their own social battles, coming to fight mine? In a society which systematically advantages white people, white allies are needed to combat racism. Some of you do this already. Maybe on a large scale by teaching, or a small scale by being part of an open and accepting faith community. I guess while we're here in this space, it makes sense to ask ourselves, what does UUism call us to do? UUism talks a lot about affirmation, but very little about action, because the core of this religion leaves very much up to interpretation. We have principles talking about the inherent worth and dignity of every being, justice, equity, liberty. Some of us heard these principles from a very young age. Do you believe them? At your core, do you want every being on this earth to be equal? Not just equal. Do you want every being to feel accepted, loved, and appreciated? Do you believe that I should be treated equally, regardless of the social context? Do you believe that I should feel accepted, loved, and appreciated, regardless of my race? Do you believe that? If you believe those things are true, There are steps you can take to make those things happen. Firstly, do work that involves other people. Like I said before, some of you do this already, but there's always more work to do. Donate to organizations that support human rights causes you care about. Go to protests or rallies. Call your governmental representatives or senators. Once you see steps taken towards what you've advocated for, check to see if those changes reflect your intent. Why did you support the cause in the first place? Do your research. Make sure you are fully aware of what you are a part of. Step up. Step up to clear space for the people who are having trouble getting there on their own. But don't speak for them. Don't muffle their voices so you can get there faster. Once the space is cleared, let the marginalized people speak their truths. All you have to do is listen. Amplify the voices of the oppressed. Let them do their work. And would you believe that's the easy part? The second step is much harder. Self-reflection. Like I said before, I'm here to tell you you're not always the good guy. It's not on purpose, and that doesn't mean you can't be better. It just means that sometimes we don't know everything. In order to be good allies, we have to look into ourselves. Remember how I said privilege blinds us? Dig for those blind spots. Whose perspective are you missing? How have all the things you've known to be true informed your actions? Avoid forcibly overwhelming yourself as an excuse to not be conscious. It's not that large and unmanageable, really. If that were true, no progress would be made at all. Realize that you will make mistakes. Realize you probably have. That doesn't mean you can't be better. Good allyship will put you in a constant state of reflection. You will always be looking to see how you can improve and acting to make those changes. Nobody knows everything about everyone. Nobody knows all the fancy social justice terms. Nobody will get it all right the first time, or the second time, or even the third. I'm not even 20 yet, but I'm doing the best I can now, and I will vow to continue to do that until the day I'm gone. Can you do the same? Can you choose to busy yourself with the work of good allyship? Can you do that without asking for anything in return? No resources given to you. No awards. Can you find it in yourself to value the life of another being enough to advocate for them, even if it might make you fall?